Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Freedom's Way tonight. If you have opened this message from a digital source, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting. That means that people will be dialing in from all over the place. To that end, we'll give them 3 to 5 minutes to get here. And if you would like to join us, digital listeners, anytime, Monday nights and Friday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. You can also go to our website, freedomswayministries.com, for more information about us, ways to support our ministry. So welcome tonight. Thank you for joining us. And if you'd like to say hello, now's a good time to do that.
Hello, this is Helen, and I'm Susan.
Hey, Brother Phil, Miss Vicky, I made it tonight, too. Y'all doing okay?
Good to hear you, Mitch. This is Helen.
Hey, Miss Helen.
Always
doing
good
okay
to hear
too, Miss Helen?
Hallelujah. I
yes,
said ma'am. Hello, too, but my phone was muted. Please forgive me.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to take your job, but I just always wanted to say hello to him. I hear him so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ellen. Thank you. Good to hear you too, Ms. Ellen.
I also thought I heard Steve and Cindy. Did I hear Steve and Cindy?
Yes, you did. How are you doing, right?
Hey, welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome.
It's Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen.
Hey, everybody.
Hi there, this is Claudia, and I have Sandy with me.
Woo-hoo. Hi, this is Sandy.
Hi, Claudia and Sandy.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome. Glad to have you here.
I captured her tonight.
Woo-hoo. Okay.
She needs loving, so I'm loving on her.
Good. Well, consider yourself captured.
Yourself.
Anybody else want to say
Anybody
hello? Hello. Hi, Annette.
Hi, Annette.
Okay, we got some serious feedback here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and mute your telephones. And if you did not have an opportunity to say hello, we will give you that opportunity at the end of our meeting tonight. So God bless you all. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Phil to pray us into this meeting and let you know who we are.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. Give you honor tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for insights into your word. Help us, Lord, to understand and put into practice what you would have us understand. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us, guiding us, and that your anointing is on this word tonight. I ask that you bless the hearers, and that this word penetrates and does exactly what you intended it for to do. And in the name of Jesus, I come against any assignment, attempt to blunt or distract this word, take away any of its power, and having it fulfill what God would have it do. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Have your way, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And I did the prayer before I said who we were. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. I'm Phil Burdett, here with my wife, Vicki.
Pardon me.
Our mission is to help you come into your true identity in Christ, and anything we can do in that area, we are glad to help. So our message tonight is How Satan Gets in the Door, Part 2, and we're going to get started on that now. God bless you as you're here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, well, we started last week exploring four areas.
Amen. Hallelujah. My turn. Praise the Lord forever. As Phil said, we did begin last week to explore four areas where the devil takes liberty in our lives to bring curses to pass or to hold them in place because he has a legal right to do that. Satan's legal right comes because in our ignorance, we have disagreed with God in some area of our lives, and any disagreement with God is an agreement with the devil. So the curse has a cause, and the demons begin to work to destroy us. Now, we've already covered one of the areas of Satan's legal right to afflict us, and that is associational sin. If you missed that, I understand from my web guide, it is on the website. Other areas are personal sin, generational sin, and witchcraft or incantation, as well as word curses. We talked about how the Holy Spirit of God wants to access us and work through us, and how other spirits also want to access us and work through us. You know, sometimes I think the church spends too much time arguing whether or not a Christian can have a demon, when that isn't the question at all. The question is whether a demon can use a Christian, and the answer, obviously, is yes. We have God, and we have an enemy. Pardon me. We have God, and we have an enemy. Both want to access us and express themselves through us. Satan uses deception and fear to accomplish his entrapment of us. We need to recognize the trap and the fact that we are in it, and we need to ask God to give us his gift of repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, so that we can recover ourselves from that snare. That's in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 to 26. So would you read that verse? 2 Timothy 2.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And we have said this before, God does not want us ignorant of the devil's ways. The word is filled with very specific teaching about curses, and even spells out how curses come about. Stephen Bell, who is a deliverance ministry, did a great study on curses and listed 74 curses that are specifically stated in the Bible. We're going to share a part of his study. We've said before that curses are real, and there's always a reason for them. Proverbs 26:2 tells us, the curse without a cause will not come. So let's look at what is a curse. Remember Jesus and the fig tree? Jesus was passing by, and he was hungry. When he approached the tree, it had no fruit on it, and he spoke to the tree. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. You'll find that in Mark 11:12-14. And it's interesting to note that the word says the times of figs was not yet. In verse 21, Peter says, look, the fig tree you cursed is dried up. Jesus cursed the tree because it had no fruit, even though it was not time for fruit. That seems to be a curse without a cause, but not when you understand that the tree was in the very presence of the Creator, and the ability to produce is in the presence of the Creator. When Jesus enters the picture, there's no excuses for us to be barren. We can't say, I don't have what it takes to bring forth fruit. The ability to produce is in Him, not us. We're to respond to God's ability. And when we don't, we are subject to a curse.
Wow. Hallelujah. Whew. So now we can see why that curse came. We see how it was put into motion by the spoken word. A curse, by definition, is speaking a wish of evil against one, to imprecate evil, to call for injury or mischief to befall someone, to bring evil upon or to blast, vex, harass, or torment with great calamities. That's the definition of a curse. A curse can come through spoken words. When we speak that someone has an accident or an illness, it's a curse. And let's just think about curses that we speak without even realizing what we're doing. How about this, parents? Put on your jacket. Don't you know you can catch your death a cold? Or, don't go near the street, you'll get run over. Have you heard parents say to their children, you stay right here. Someone will snatch you and take you away. Every one of those things and thousands of similar things that we say to each other, and especially to the ones we love, can put curses into motion. If we thought for one moment that everything coming out of our mouths would come to pass, we would be a lot more careful with our words. I truly believe that. And that's actually a goal of mine, that my words become so pure, God can trust me to that point where everything I speak will come to pass. Now, I'm nowhere close to that. Don't get the wrong idea here. But I am getting there. The word says God will give us the desires of our hearts. So I know God put that desire in me, and He will work it in me until the day of Christ, until the day that Christ appears in me in full measure, and no one can see anything else when they look my way, and they don't hear any word from my thinking, only from His. The mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. The point is this. Words are not just sounds that come out of our mouths. They have creative power. As a matter of fact, words are the most creative force in the universe because they're spoken with God's breath. In case you didn't realize it, your breath is not your breath. It's God's breath. And if you leave this life before Christ comes back, God's breath will go back to him.
Hallelujah, Lord.
While you're here, you're breathing and speaking with the breath of God. It's no wonder he's upset when you use his breath against him by cursing ourselves and others. Words are the agents sent forth for good or for bad. Proverbs 18 tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. When we speak death, we can expect death. And when we speak life, we can expect life. According to Deuteronomy, we get to choose. Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. We encourage you all to read Deuteronomy chapter 27 all the way through 30. This is where specific blessings and specific curses were activated for all time. The curse was already in the earth as a result of Adam's disobedience. You'll see that in Genesis chapter 3. But these chapters clearly define what's what when it comes to curses and blessings. The principle of God's word are, principles of God's word are eternal, and every covenant encompasses the one before it. If we are to protect ourselves from curses, we have to walk in obedience to the principles God has laid out for us. If the manufacturer's handbook on your car tells you to inflate your tires to a certain pressure, you decide not to do that, but instead under or overinflate them, then what will happen? The tires will wear out prematurely, and you will have a potentially deadly hazard to deal with. Well, it's the same thing with us. If the manufacturer's handbook for our lives, which is the Bible, gives us instruction in righteousness, which brings life and peace, why would we not follow the recommendations of our Creator?
Good question. It seems that we don't always do that. However, you know, I know that many of you have been taught that Jesus took all the curses. The Bible tells us he is our curse bearer. And many churches teach that we don't need to do anything because Jesus took care of curses for us. And you can see that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Okay, we are redeemed from the curse of the law, absolutely. He was made a curse for us, absolutely. But are all the curses gone? Is that true? Well, let's consider. Is illness a curse? Yes. Do you know any Christians who are sick? Yes. Is death a curse? Yep. Have any of your Christian friends died? Yes. Is poverty a curse? Yes, absolutely. Do we know Christians who love the Lord and yet they can't pay their bills? Yes, we do. We've even been there ourselves. So curses didn't just disappear at the cross, did they? It is absolutely true that Jesus made a way for us to overcome sin, sickness, poverty, and death by his sacrifice once for all and for all time. But we have to do something. Here is the balance between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. In order to be saved, we did something. We believed in our hearts we confessed with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for us and rose again, thus proving the sacrifice of his life was acceptable to the Father on our behalf. We believe that Jesus was resurrected and sits at the right hand of the Father until his enemies are made his footstool. Our Redeemer lives. The provision for our preservation into eternal life was made at the cross, but it was only a promise to us until we believed and acted on our belief. If it was done already, we all would have been born saved.
Amen. The same principle applies to curses. We have to do something. Look at Jeremiah 48:10 and also Psalms 6 through 9. So here's Jeremiah 48:10. Cursed be he that does the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keeps back his sword from blood. Psalm 149:6-9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints, praise ye the Lord. Now, if we back down and do nothing to fight the good fight of faith, to destroy the works of the devil, as Jesus did by bringing judgment on the evil spirits that hold sin in place in our lives, we're cursed. Even though Jesus became our curse bearer, it didn't automatically happen. We must convert that promise to a benefit in our lives. It's our words, spoken in faith, our repentance for our sins and the sins of our fathers that allows us to reverse the curses in our lives and send them back to the sender. Remember, all the answers are in the Word of God, so let's get some of them now.
Amen. Genesis 4, verse 2 through 7. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. In Stephen Bell's study on curses, he named three categories of curses. Curses through sin, curses from words, and curses through disobedience and disorder. Now, actually, we know all these categories are sin, so we're going to put them all into one or another of those areas of Satan's legal right. Remember, we have personal sin, generational sin, associational sin, and witchcraft. All of these are open doors for various evil spirits to come in and influence our lives, many times through curses which are already in the earth. So let's start to look at personal sin. Now, let me say, we are not here to beat you up with the Word of God. There are plenty of preachers out there doing that already. We just want to bring some understanding that will help set you free. Amen. So these verses in Genesis, they say if we do well, things will be okay. That basically means if we follow the precepts and principles of God. If we don't, we open the door to the devil. We create a situation where we fall into agreement with some kind of evil spirit, and we end up committing a sin. Hallelujah.
It isn't necessary to define all the specifics of each sinful action a person can take.
You sure? Let's get the dirty details, shall we?
Okay. Most of us understand that when we've sinned. Most of us understand. Deuteronomy chapter 28 outlines curses that come about by not following the commandments of God. So here we see the curse of the law. We know the commandments of God, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If we do this, we are in fact fulfilling every jot and tittle of the old covenant law. Many of the statutes written in the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, had to do with the blood sacrifice, which was fulfilled by Jesus Christ once and for all time.
Amen.
So those ordinances do not apply except as they relate to our dying to ourselves and sacrificing the sacrifices of praises.
Amen. So now, when we go our own way and do our own thing, contrary to what God wants of us, we break our vow to Him. That will bring a curse, or it may hold a curse in place in our lives. Think about Jonah. He listened to the voice of the enemy. He tried to run from God and what God wanted him to do. And he ended up in the belly of hell, as he put it. But then Jonah repented, and he was restored. He was not restored to his own way, but he was restored to perform the will of God. He had to admit his mistake. He had to pay the vow that he had broken, then he would serve God. Jonah chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That is a verse that has stuck with me so many years. You really need to study that out. A lying vanity is anything that doesn't agree with God. Forsake means you're sending it away. If you are not agreeing with God, if you are not doing things His way, if you are observing symptoms in your body that are worthless, that's vanity. You're sending away your own mercy. That's another teaching. Let me go back. Jonah 2, verse 8 through 10. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. This is Jonah speaking. But I will sacrifice unto you. He's in the belly of hell, is what he said. He's in the belly of that big old fish. But I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. Whoa!
It's a great story. Now, there are word curses that hold sin in our lives also. These can be words spoken out of our own mouth.
Oh,
yeah. Or they can be words spoken over us as children or even as adults. I know many people who even as adults have a difficult time learning or retaining information because they were cursed as stupid when they were children. We're going to pray deliverance from word curses tonight. These word curses are also sinful actions we commit, and many times we don't even know why we said that. The answer is it wasn't your thought, but was given to you by an evil spirit. Because we don't take every thought captive, sometimes word curses will slip by and come out of our mouths before we know it. The sin that did not belong to us or originate with us now becomes our sin, and we're subject to the curse that results. There are also curses that result from disobedience and disorder, and these are also sin. We can have ungodly order, which is disorder in the family and in the church. We can see it in the area of giving, and then there is one in Judges 5:23 that I want us to look at. This is along the same lines as Jeremiah 48:10, just 5:23. Curse you, Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse you bitterly, inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty.
When I got this one, it just amazed me. This verse puts to rest the argument that we don't have any responsibility in the matter of putting to flight our enemies. When we think or teach that Jesus did it all for us, we deny the truth that we have a part in helping the Lord. Now, does the Lord need our help? No. But he expects us to work with him as he is working with us and in us. We must cooperate, make ourselves available, break agreement with the enemy, not be afraid to go to war in the spirit realm. I don't know if I put Jeremiah 48:10 somewhere in this teaching, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you now. It says, cursed is he that holds back his sword from blood. Yeah. I can say that one five times a day and still need to say it again. It's like, you know, you have been given so many things, but you got to possess them. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. So we can conclude it is true. We can do nothing without God. But we can also conclude that we are not meant to do nothing. He's made the way, and now we have to walk it. He's given us a sword. Now we have to use it. He's given us armor for going forth into battle, not for avoiding it. Our armor is offensive, not defensive. Well, it's actually both, but it was meant as an offensive weapon as well as a defense for us. It's been said that an appeaser is one that feeds a monster hoping it will eat him last. But the thing is, the appeaser will be devoured. If we refuse to help in the Lord's work, what he wants to do in us and through us, we can expect a curse.
It's true.
We're going to briefly look at a few biblical curses stemming from ungodly order and disobedience. And then we'll pray through and break off some more curses. So first, let's look at family disorder. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. This is Proverbs 3:33, interestingly enough. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Malachi 4:6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Here we see two things concerning ungodly order. Wickedness in the family brings a curse, as does a break in relationship between the fathers and their children. Then in Haggai, we see what happens when we don't make a place for the Lord. We are unable to prosper no matter what we do. There's never enough when we don't include the Lord, who is more than enough.
Amen.
Haggai 1, verses 2 through 9. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earns wages to put into a bag of hold. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house.
Ooh, help us, Lord. And then there are other dynamics between parents and children. You know, Satan can put a wedge here and pervert these relationships as well, bringing curses or holding them in place. So first we see a curse on those who lightly esteem their parents, those who treat their parents with contempt, and children who strike their parents no matter what the reason. You see, it really doesn't matter what terrible things they did to us as children or even as adults. Their participation with those evil spirits does not give us the right to participate with evil ourselves. Then there's a curse on those who curse their parents. Let me say this. Your parents were incidental to your birth. God had you born exactly when he purposed, not your parents. And you are his child first, not theirs. You are not bound by the behavior of other people, and your life is not dictated by what others, even your parents, do or do not do for you or to you. I am going to say that again. You are not bound by the behavior of other people. Your life is not dictated by what anyone, even your parents, do for you or don't do for you or to you. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Exodus 21:15. He that smites his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Exodus 21:17. He that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death.
Next, we have parents who do not discipline their children and those who honor them over God. This is a form of idolatry, but it is also disorder in the family. Eli the priest had two sons, and the word says they were worthless, of Belial, and they caused the people to hate sacrificing to the Lord, and they did other wicked things. You can read 1 Samuel chapter 2 and get a better idea of what these two were into. But in any case, Eli knew what they were doing, but he didn't stop it. That opened the door for a curse of early death that would follow his family line for generations.
Now, just read that in our morning Bible reading this week.
And then there are curses resulting from disorder in the church. In Jeremiah 17, we have a picture of a curse spoken over people who trusted the word of man over the word of God. The prophet Jeremiah didn't have such great things to say to the people, and other prophets were speaking peace, peace, when there was no peace. Well, you know, that's still happening in the church today. We're looking to what man has to say rather than what God has to say. Well, we won't read it all, but we want to highlight a few verses there. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake you shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And Jeremiah 17:16-18. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow you, neither have I desired the woeful day. You know, for that which came out of my lips was right before you. Be not a terror unto me. You are my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction.
Double destruction. I don't want to know what that looks like. There are also ministers who fail to give the glory to God. Now, don't forget, you are a minister. All of us are ministers of reconciliation, and we are priests unto the Lord. He gets the glory for what he does at our hand. We should never touch the glory. You remember Herod touched the glory, and he was eaten alive by worms, and then he died. That's what the word tells us. In Malachi 2:1-2, it says, and now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've cursed them already because you did not lay it to heart. You took the glory on yourself. Revelation 1:6, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Listen up, you priests.
Amen. There's also a curse from robbing God. Churches that teach tithing passed away with the old covenant because it was under the law are mistaken. Tithing was established with Abraham and Melchizedek 430 years before the law. So I want to show you the verse in Malachi that churches have used to beat you up about giving them money and ask that you look at it with a fresh revelation. Malachi 3:8-10. Will a man rob God? Yes, you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. Consider, if you will, under the old covenant, the tithe was 10% of your stuff, and it was paid to the priest. Under the new covenant, we are the tithe. We are the priests. We are meant to bring ourselves into the storehouse and to be the meat. We are the windows of heaven that the Lord wants to pour out. We are the blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive, because the blessings with which we bless are so great.
Wow. That is an amazing revelation.
Amen.
We're the tithe. We're the storehouse. We're the meat. We are the windows of heaven. We are the blessing.
Does that mean it doesn't involve the money?
Oh, you can't get away with that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's quite a lot of circumstances that can cause curses, and probably enough for now. I'm sure we've all opened ourselves up to some of this stuff, and so we want to pray with you to begin to break off some of that and reverse those curses. We're taking back the ground we've given over to the devil as we recognize these things and repent of them. So are you ready?
I am ready. Can I lead it?
Sure.
Woo-hoo! Okay, I invite you all to pray with me concerning these things. Pray it out loud so all the hosts of heaven and hell can hear you. Father God, I come to you now.
Father God, I come to you now.
I humble my heart before you.
I humble my heart.
I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord.
Christ as my Lord.
And I believe he is risen from the dead. I declare I have been bought.
I have been bought.
By the blood of Jesus. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. And I belong to you, God. Father, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive my ancestors who may have participated with the sins I am going to name. I forgive them and I release them from responsibility for any curse that attached itself to me, or my children. I take responsibility for those curses.
Take responsibility for those curses.
And I give them to Jesus Christ, who is my curse bearer. And Father, I repent to you.
Father, I repent to you.
For having cursed myself and others with my words. I ask you to forgive me, Lord.
Forgive you, Lord.
And I ask that these curses be broken. Father, I forgive every person.
Lord, I forgive every person.
Who has spoken a curse over me. Including myself. And I release them from responsibility for those curses. I want to stop here just a minute. If the Holy Spirit is bringing something to mind, maybe I just get in my spirit something a teacher said to you years ago. Something, you know. Or something that was said to you. Why can't you be like so-and-so? Or those
those word curses. Forgive those people. Forgive them. Release them. If you're being reminded of something that someone said to you, and as time goes on, I am very sure the Holy Spirit is going to bring to mind other things that were spoken over you. You will now know how to free yourself through repentance and through forgiveness. So let's go on. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is come in the flesh, I pull those evil words that were spoken down from the heavens, and I crush the curses under the feet of Jesus. I command those words to die. I declare they will no longer bear fruit in my life. I now break and loose myself and my family from word curses spoken by any person, living or dead, with the sword of the Spirit of God. I sever the cords of word curses that would bind them to me. I declare I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I take back all the ground I yielded to Satan through my participation in word curses, knowingly or unknowingly. And I establish myself in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I claim the blessing rather than the curse. I will speak the blessing and not the curse over my life and the lives of others. You are my deliverer, Lord Jesus. You are my curse bearer. I confess you with my mouth. I confess that the power of every word curse that was spoken over my life is now broken in the authority of your name, Lord Jesus. I break all agreement with every spirit and every spirit guide connected to word curses. And I ask to be delivered from them now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sins and the sins of my fathers. I ask forgiveness, Lord, for any time I participated in ungodly order, ungodly order in the home, disorder in the family. I am sorry, Lord, that I honored my children or my spouse over you. I am sorry, Lord, for cursing my parents and for any time I did not honor them with my words or my actions. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for any time I failed to properly minister to you or to your people, for any time I touched your glory or tried to take credit to myself, for any time I robbed you, but by not fully giving myself to you. I repent for not paying my vows to you, for not cooperating with you in your work. Please forgive me, Father. I ask that the curses connected to these actions and these attitudes be broken off my life now in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Okay, now it's my turn. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is come in the flesh, I command every evil, unclean spirit that has come through the door of word curses or any of the sins that we have named here, I command those things to leave you now. I speak to every demon, every demonic root of word curses. I speak to family disorder, ungodly order in the home, disorder in the church. I cast you out. I send you to the pit bound to be burned. Loose them and let them go. By the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, I cast out every unclean, ungodly spirit or spirit guide that has prevented any of these people from taking up their swords and drawing blood in spiritual warfare. Loose them and let them go. I declare they are mighty warriors. They are armed, they are unafraid, and you are no longer able to deceive them into avoidance of their destiny in God. I cancel all cell memory of these evils now, and I command you as you leave, you go to the pit, that burning coals fall on you, you cannot rise again, and take your nasty diseases with you in the name of Jesus, all ungodly symptoms. Father God, I pray that you extend your healing anointing now to flow through these people in every place where a word curse, family or church disorder, any of the other sins that we've named has caused infirmity, weakness, illness, pain, deformity or disease. Flow your anointing, Lord. I ask in the name of Jesus that you follow your word with signs and wonders as you have said. I thank you, Lord God, that you free your children who have been bound by curses and that you flood them with the blessings of health in every area of their bodies. I thank you, Lord God, for mighty testimonies to your glory and to your power coming forth from them as they begin to do things they couldn't do before. And I thank you, Lord, there is none like you. To God be the glory. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
The breath. If you have a comment or a question, now's the time to speak up. You can push your *6 key that unmutes your phone. I heard someone.
Yeah, as always, it's just wonderful. Vicki and Phil, very powerful, very needed, and very successful. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. God bless you. God be the glory. Hallelujah. God, you know what your people need, and you know how to get it to them. Hallelujah.
Hello, Vicki. It's John.
Yes.
Hi. It was really good. Hi. Just question, a little bit more explanation about how we are the tithe, like instead of being the 10%. I didn't quite understand that. You said it well, but there was a lot that was being said, and I didn't quite get everything. You're saying,
okay.
Can you explain that a little bit? Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Yes. The remnant of people, we are the tithe. We are the tithe to the Lord. We are to
be. So it's not like
Yeah, okay. It doesn't negate the covenant. It just expands the covenant. So,
okay.
You know, I believe that because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek and gave him 10% of the increase 430 years before the law, that we, if we are covenant children of God, Abraham's seed, then we do the same thing. But in the new covenant, that is expanded. And in actuality, everything belongs to God. And we belong to God. And, you know, we are the tithe. Formerly, it was the Levites. They were in the service of the Lord. They weren't to own anything. It was all God's. And he took care of them. So we are the tithe. We are the storehouse. We are the meat that feeds people. Feed my sheep. We are the windows. I will pour you out a blessing into the earth. We are the gates. And we are the blessing. So it doesn't negate that we give our substance into advancing the kingdom of God. It just expands our understanding of what substance really is.
So it could be to the church, it could be to the
kingdom. Yeah, it's not just your money. We give God the tithe of our day, every day, at the King's table.
Amen.
When we spend that time with Him, we're tithing our time. We're tithing our we're making that sacrifice. We're tithing our worship. So it's an expansion. It's not an instead of.
Oh, thank you. I explained it well. Thank you. I hope to talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you, Vicki.
God bless you. Thanks for joining us.
Vicki,
anybody else?
Sorry,
hi,
this
Sandy.
Is Sandy.
Thank you. Being
here. Thank you so much. I truly needed this. I truly did.
Woo-hoo.
I got to listen to it partly with my dear friend Claudia, and she was just saying that we needed this, and we sure, absolutely. So thank you so much.
God bless you, honey.
Thank you.
Just keep coming back. You're welcome. Anytime, all the time.
I truly appreciate that so much. It means the world to me. Thank you. I love it. I'm so glad that we got to listen to it tonight and mostly together. So it was truly a blessing.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen.
Who else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Well, I am going to ask our true Levite.
Meeting canceled.
Thank you.
Okay, who said
okay,
what?
Okay, who said what?
Annette. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep, I needed that.
And
too.
It's your phone now.
I know, and I don't know why. I don't know what you do about it.
I don't either. But thank you. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Phil to bless us into this week. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for freedom and deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you, Lord. It is so good to be in your presence and to know that you're working in us to do mighty things, that we're getting stronger and better every day in you, because in you we can do all things. Less of us and more of you, Lord. Fill us up afresh tonight with your Holy Spirit. Touch everyone with the peace of God right now. Thank you, Lord. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, bless the children of Israel, Numbers, the sixth chapter, I will bless you tonight with the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and in English. God bless you as you hear. It is the people of God who he wants to bless. So receive. Hallelujah. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav eilecha ifunecha Yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for sending Mashiach. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, and your great plans for us all to rule and reign in your kingdom. So hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for empowering us, blessing us, strengthening us. I ask you to encamp your angels around all of us this week. Give us revelation knowledge of you, and which empowers us to move off of ground zero and into action and take back ground from the enemy for the kingdom of God. So thank you, Lord, that we are aware that that is your desire, and we open ourselves fully, Lord, to receive your anointing, to prosper, to be in health, and to move mountains for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Praise amen. The Lord amen. Forever.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Nick.
Hey,
all right.
Hey, brother, sister. I kept trying to get in earlier. It wouldn't let me in there, though, but this was right on time. I'm having a disrupt family right now with a little sister. A lot of stuff going on right now. I'm trying to disrupt our family. But thank you, brother and sister, right on time.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so
yeah.
much.
And
we're so awesome.
Thank you, Claudia.
To have Sandy has just made my day. She actually had her phone on, and I had mine on. We were echoing. Because we were outside and we both had our phones. It was kind of cool. But anyway, it was wonderful.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us. And this message will be repeated Friday night on Gretchen's facilitation of the line. And we so appreciate her and all that she does in the kingdom.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I had to listen to it first so I can get through the teaching of it Friday. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you. Okay. Well, we'll be back here in the morning, 7:15 for the King's Table. And again, this message will be repeated Friday night. So have a great week, you all. See you tomorrow.
Night. Love you. Night. Bye.
Love you. Good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody.